Okay, this morning we're going to read about a great servant, and it's from Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 22, and it's on page 1057 of the church Bibles, these Bibles here. 1057. Before I read, I'm just going to say a short prayer for the scripture and a short prayer for Charlie as he teaches us. So join me in prayer whilst you read, look for page 1057 from the church Bibles. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the relationship that we can have with you. You are the creator of all things, and you're such a wonder to us, Lord. We wonder why you give us grace, love, and mercy. Heavenly Father, we wonder why your son was such a servant to us when we do not deserve it. Lord, allow these words that we read to teach us and to dwell within us. And allow the words that Charlie speaks, as we learn a bit more about the Queen and what a graceful servant that she has been to you. Allow it to teach us that with great responsibility, you have a servant's heart. Amen. So, Luke chapter 22, and it's starting from verse 24, so it's right at the end of page 1057. Luke chapter 22, verse 24. A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table, but I am among you as one who serves?" Thank you.
Thank you, George, very much indeed for that reading and for your story as well. And do get to know George afterwards over a cup of tea, over the meal. We're normally working our way through the book of Daniel at the moment with the fiery furnace and all these wonderful stories. But we're taking a pause today on this Jubilee weekend to look at these verses from Luke's Gospel. And I'll explain why we've come to choose them. But first of all, let me read to you verse 26 again, just at the top of page 1058. Does everyone see that? Page 1058. "But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves." Around 70 years ago, a young woman in her 20s was preparing for her coronation as queen. And although the date of 70 years of the coronation is actually next year, this is the weekend that we think about Her Majesty coming to the throne. She was just a young woman in her 20s, and the Archbishop of Canterbury at the time, Geoffrey Fisher, wrote a special book for her. He had it specially bound. I wish this was a copy of it. There's under 12 copies in existence. It looks something like this. This is another of these gilt-edged Bibles. But he presented her with this book, which gave her prayers and Bible readings to think about to help her prepare for becoming queen. There are actually quotes from the book in this book by Catherine Butcher, our faithful queen. And we've got 50 copies of this book for free. So do take one on the way out. You'll find it a really interesting read. And it kind of gives a bit of a behind-the-scenes look at what the Queen might have been thinking and processing as she was preparing for her coronation. And one of the verses from the Bible that was in her little black book and recorded for us in this book as well are these very words from Luke's Gospel. Let's put them up on the screen. Let me read them to you again. Here's the book, and here's the key verse that was written out there for the Queen. "The greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves." I'd like us to think about this verse and the surrounding verses just with two simple headings today. And the first is this. The kind of rule that Jesus calls for is that of a servant. That's the first thing we'll see today. The kind of rule that Jesus calls for the Queen and for us in our more lowly leadership roles, is that of a servant. Let me read those words again. The greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. This theme is the theme of servant leadership. And just to get our bearings, as you can see from the heading in the NIV Bible, this is the Last Supper, just on the night before Jesus died. And he's calling his followers, and there are now billions of followers around the world, to be humble and to follow in Jesus' footsteps as sacrificial leaders, to use their authority to serve and not to be served, to give and not to get. Sadly, if we look back to verse 24, we can see that what starts off this conversation is a bit of a squabble between the disciples. A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. It's so ugly, isn't it? And yet it's so often what our hearts are like. In fact, just as a little aside, I think actually this is one of the reasons why we can trust our Bibles, because the people that recorded what they saw and wrote it down didn't paint themselves in a perfect light. Here they were fighting. Constantly, the disciples seem to be jockeying for position. This isn't the first or the last time that we see this kind of trying to rise to the top. Look at verse 25. Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles," that means the non-Jewish people, "lord it over them." They're all superior. "And those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors." Do you see the capital B there? It was a sort of term of great self-importance. But Jesus says you're not to be like that. Verse 26, "Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves." In a world where the youngest took the most menial roles, Jesus said the higher up you go, the more you should look to go down and to serve. Now, you don't need me to tell you how hard this is. I don't know if anyone here has got a position of responsibility. George, I don't know what your role was in the Grosvenor Estates. I'm somewhere very high, I'm sure. But the higher you go up in either business or in responsibility or seniority or even in a family or in a marriage, the more we are to serve. Maybe someone here is a teacher or a parent. And maybe some of the kids here who are brilliantly working away at their fun sheet are going to be prefects or school counsellors in their final year at school before they move up to secondary school. Will they use their position of influence to serve themselves, to squash others, or will they use their position to serve? Does greater power mean a greater power to be lazy or to be selfish or to use people or to create a name for oneself? Or will we put ourselves out to serve other people? Even at a shared meal, as we're going to have today, it's so easy to serve ourselves rather than looking for the needs of those around us. Although, please, let's not all be the last one in the queue, or we'll never get our lunch. It's good to remember today on what is the day when the church remembers the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, that this is only possible. It's only possible to be a servant with God's help. And as we think about the Queen and what she has done, she has sought to be a servant. Garden parties for the public, Maundy money at Easter, civic events, opening schools and hospitals. These are all symbols of her using her authority, her height, her greatness to come low and to serve. I know that not everyone is a fan. Even in recent days, there have been billboards calling for the abolition of the monarchy. But I do believe that she's used her authority to serve. And in this regard, she sought to put these words that were given to her to prepare for her coronation into practice. Indeed, on the Christmas speech in 1952, as she looked forward to 1953, to the coronation, she said these words, "At my coronation next June, I shall dedicate myself anew to your service. Pray that God may give me wisdom and strength to carry out the solemn promises that I shall be making, and that I may faithfully serve him and you all the days of my life. And that's one of the reasons that we put on this service today, to be able to thank God for a ruler who is not like some of the rulers that we see on our TV screens, who use their authority to squash and to steal and to kill. But she has sought to use her authority to serve. And for that, we give thanks. And later on, Susan is going to be leading us in prayer. But having said that, as we think about the kind of rule that Jesus calls for, being servant-shaped, I'm sure she would be the first to say that she hasn't done that perfectly. Just one of the slightly more amusing mistakes that I read about what the Queen was recorded as doing in 2017. When the Queen can't sleep, she goes for a little stroll around Buckingham Palace. And one particular morning, she hadn't telephoned security to let them know about her extra early morning meanderings. And an armed guard jumped out of some bushes, pointed his gun towards her, and said, "Who's that?" And then, rather embarrassingly, he swore and he said, "Your Majesty, I nearly shot you." And calmly she responded, "That's quite all right. Next time I'll ring through so you don't have to shoot me." But more seriously, any leader will make more serious mistakes as well, where they haven't always served. And perhaps some will question the lavish amounts of money that have been spent on her. Apparently, everywhere she goes, it smells of fresh paint because everything has been beautifully done up for her. She herself, in 1966, and remember how far back her rule goes, in 1966, she spoke of her regrets of not going to the Aberfan colliery disaster sooner, where 116 children were killed. Of course, there was criticism over how she responded to the death of Princess Diana. I'm sure that privately, she would be the first person to say that she hasn't always got everything right. You see, whether we're the Queen of the United Kingdom and the Commonwealth, or whether we are just the king of our own little castle, we don't always get things right. And Jesus calls us to be servants, but we make mistakes. And what we need is not just a standard, a royal standard to keep, but we also need a royal saviour who can rescue us because we don't keep his standards as we should. And so we move from our first point to our second point. From the kind of rule that Jesus calls for is that of a servant, to the kind of rule that Jesus brings is that of a servant. Let's look at this. And this is particularly looking down to verse 27. Let me read verse 27 for you. "For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves?" I had probably the closest I've come to royalty. I did see her once at a do in the distance. She's quite short, isn't she? I did see her once at a distance. But I had the privilege of working for the embassy in Paris. Here's a picture of it. Beautiful place in Paris. And because I was working for a church that summer when I was a trainee vicar, there was a lady in the congregation who was working for the British Embassy in Paris. And she was looking for people to help her with an open day. And the doors of the embassy were thrown open wide. And I had the privilege of being the tour guide for the dining room of the French or the British Embassy in Paris. And it was beautiful. The butler had recreated a state banquet with the Queen's seat in prime position as the guest of honour. And there was crystal-cut glass-crested china, silver salvers. The tablecloth itself, which was huge, probably perhaps the width of this room, was one single piece of fabric, beautifully made, beautiful white linen. And there was Her Majesty's seat. I dared not go anywhere near it, even though this was just a reconstruction years later on. And apparently the butler would use he'd line up these sort of strings to get everything in order and use rulers just to get everything in perfect position. And there's the Queen's seat. Now, Jesus here in verse 27 asks a question. Who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? The Queen sitting at her state banquet, or the guy out the back who's doing the washing up? Well, it's obvious, isn't it? Jesus answers his own question. Is it not the one who's at the table? But, and this is the most staggering thing, and this is the thing to take away today. Jesus says, but I am with you, as I am among you, as one who serves. The King of Kings, who is from heaven, who has the highest position in all the universe alongside his heavenly Father, stoops so low as the servant. He doesn't sit himself down at the table. He gets up and literally washes the feet of his disciples. That's what's happened during this episode. You can read it in John's Gospel. And we've got some copies of a little Jubilee version of John's Gospel as well. Where in John 13, we see that Jesus gets himself dirty. He stoops down to the level of the smelly feet of his disciples. No one else has bothered to pick up the towel and the bucket to do it, but he takes off his clean clothes and he puts an apron around him and he gets his fingers amongst the dirt between the toes of his disciples. That is what our God is like. He is a servant. This weekend, the focus has rightly been on the Queen, rock concerts, pageants, trooping of the colour, and all of these wonderful things. And we can think a lot about the Queen's great power. She only needs to ask, and a royal bagpiper plays the bagpipes at 9 a.m. Every day of her reign. That's a true thing. She has a royal bagpiper. She's known by millions across the world, although there was one time in Balmoral when she snuck into a shop to get some cake, and the lady behind the till said, "You look like the Queen." And she said, "How reassuring." She has this global influence, and yet that's nothing compared to the influence and the power of Jesus Christ, the King, the servant. We saw in our studies in Mark's Gospel, they're still on our website if you'd like to go over them, we saw Jesus' power over disease, over the devil, over disaster as he calmed the storm on the lake, and of course, ultimately over death, as he raised Jairus' daughter from dead and as he himself rose from the dead 3 days after death. All of these factors proving that Jesus is the King of Kings. He's not just any other normal human being. He's not just any other ruler, though he comes in the line of the King of David. But he is the King of Kings. He's the Son of God. He's the man sent from heaven, the God-man. Why not join next time we do a course like the one that that George mentioned that he found so helpful? Well, next time we do a Christianity Explored course or a Hope Explored course, why not investigate for yourself, if you've never done it before, the evidence that proves that Jesus is the King of Kings? But what did he do with his great power? Well, he stooped so low to wash his disciples' feet, but the next day he stooped even lower. Not to wash the filth and possibly the dung from between his servants, between his friends' toes. He washed our souls clean of our sin. As George was sharing, each one of us is conscious of the ways in which we haven't served God. In the positions that God has put us in amongst friends or in the family or in a role, even in a place of leadership, how we haven't served God as we should. And the Bible calls it sin, and you and I are guilty, and each one of us will one day face his judgment. I think it said in, was it Psalm 104 that we read earlier, if the Lord kept a record of our sins, how would we be able to stand? But with him, there is forgiveness. And that is why Jesus came to die. We'll never understand Christianity unless we understand this moment of service when he died on the cross. The rule that Jesus brings is that of a servant. When Jesus died on the cross, he was dying in our place to forgive our sins. He was taking on his own back the sins that we deserve. In the book of Isaiah, there's a verse that we've mentioned many times before. Again, it's on our website from Easter last year. It says, "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." If this book represents the heavy list of all the things that we've got wrong, that separate us from God, if this is me and this is God up there, there is a barrier between us and God. And however many good things we try and do, however much we try and serve other people, we can't get through this block of our sin, our iniquity. And the Bible says that we're guilty. We're guilty of sin. But that verse from Isaiah 53, written 700 years before Jesus ever came along, speaks so accurately of what he did. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. Over on this side, this hand represents Jesus, who never had any barrier between him and God. From eternity to eternity, in perfect relationship with the Father. And yet when Jesus died on the cross, because of his great love for you and for me, this is what he did. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity, the sin of us all. When Jesus opened his arms wide on the cross, he was doing so out of love for you and me, the ultimate expression of service. Where we failed to keep that royal standard, God provided a royal Savior who stood in for us and took away our sin, putting it on Jesus's back, so that Jesus perfectly and fully extinguished all that sin in that terrible suffering on the cross for us. Jesus brings a kind of the kind of rule that he brings is that of a servant. Well, as we conclude, the Queen has said some amazing things about the King that she follows in her Christmas messages. And in 2014, she said this: "For me, the life of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, whose birth we celebrate today, is an inspiration and an anchor in my life." That was 2014. In 2016, she said, "Jesus Christ was maligned and rejected by many, though he had done no wrong. And yet billions of people now follow his teaching and find in him the guiding light for their lives. I am one of them." The Queen said that. She said that she personally follows this servant king and has therefore asked him to wash her clean and enable her to be in friendship with God. And so I must ask you this morning, are you one of these followers as well? Have you turned to follow King Jesus, the King of Kings? Are you seeking to walk in his ways as a servant of others? What a beautiful thing if every one of us went out into the next week and lived our lives in service of others. What an amazing thing Huntingdon would be if it was filled with people serving not their own needs, but those of others. I am among you as one who serves. Have you let Jesus serve you and wash away your sin? Have you come to him? Have you turned to him as your Lord and as your Savior? Queen Victoria, another queen, was once asked what she would do if she met Jesus Christ. And she replied in a sentiment that I think our own queen would echo. She said, "If I met Jesus Christ, I would take off my crown and lay it before him." Let's pray together. Just a moment of quiet for us to bring our own thoughts and prayers to God, perhaps giving thanks for the Queen, perhaps giving thanks for others who have inspired us in service. It may even be that someone here wants to ask Jesus to be their servant, to wash them clean of their sin, to be their Lord who they follow in serving others. Just take a moment to pray quietly to the Lord, and then in a moment, Susan will come and lead us in our prayers.